Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Dancing. Yay, team. Welcome back to LA Talk Radio. This is, of course, The Writer's Block. My name is Jim Christina, and I am the host of this wonderfully divergent program. And I'm coming to you from my secret studio somewhere in the Sawtooth and Rocky Mountains in the wonderful state of Idaho. And I am on the phone this evening with my charming, totally intelligent, gorgeous birthday girl co-host Bobby Jean Bell, coming to you directly from Albuquerque. Wait a minute, I was gone for like 3 months and they made a New Mexico. What was the matter with the old one?
I am here.
You are here.
Yeah, it's great to have you back, Jim. I'm really looking forward to tonight. We have such a fabulous guest waiting.
Oh my gosh.
To come on, but I know you may have a comment or two to make before we welcome her, so I'll be quiet.
I do. And there are several thank yous I want to make, and one of them is to you, of course, because through your leadership, you kept The Writer's Block on the air and moving and forward in a wonderful direction. I've listened to all the shows that you did, both by yourself and with co-hosts. Phenomenal job, and I want to thank you so much for jumping in and taking the reins. I want to thank Mr. Richard Polinelli for jumping in and becoming yet again another co-host, unpaid, of course, as are we all.
I was going to say, is there a paycheck?
The Writer's Block for the three or four shows that he was on. And, of course, Russ Avison is always puts a good show out. And most definitely to the bookie.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Who kept the guests rolling, kept emails coming, kept everybody informed as to what was going on. And I thank you so much, bookie. And she goes, well, you don't have to do that. I said, well, yeah, I kind of have to because you're the bookie.
Yeah.
So I want to thank everyone, and I am so happy to be back. For those who don't know, I've been very, very, very ill, and since May 17th, I've been in and out of the hospital like four times, and this last one was over a month, and it's just like, ugh. So I am like so done with hospitals right now. It's just unreal. Okay, that being said, we have a guest tonight that is like phenomenal. I can't even spell it, but I know she is. Kathy L. Murphy. She's like, she's done so much in her life. She's written some book Queens and the Timber Guys Book Club Reading Nation, of which I believe Mr. Richard Polinelli recently joined.
Yes, he did.
Oh, yes, he did.
Oh, yeah. That's exciting.
It started in your former beauty and
beauty and the books.
Yeah. The only hair salon bookstore in the country. And that was, of course, in Texas. She's the author of The Pulpwood Queens, Tiara Wearing, Book Sharing, A Guide Life, and is currently working on its sequel. She recently held a How the West Was Won with how many authors showed up, Kathy? 250?
We usually showcase about 50 of our authors, and then we have anywhere from 250 to 500 people come from nationwide and outside of the country to our book club festival, and it's pretty much the largest one in the country. So
right, and it was like tiara of costume wearing crazy women.
Yeah, we do all kinds of crazy things at this book club festival because we want to make reading fun.
Yeah. And out of that came a book.
Yes.
Which was a bunch of essays, which we'll get into in a little bit. But please, welcome to the Writer's Block.
Thank you.
Very welcome, Miss Kathy L. Murphy.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And, that's so sweet. And, you know, I just found out that, you know, today is my birthday, and so is Bobby's, and then tomorrow is Jim. So, I mean, should we celebrate or what? Yeah.
Oh, it's Ronan's birthday.
Ronan, our producer, yeah, our engineer, yeah.
He's my God. It's crazy. It's birthday-rama. Yeah.
So it is. So happy birthday, Kathy. Happy birthday, Bobby Jean. Happy early birthday to you, Ronan. And let's get into this because there's so much to talk about and so little time to do it.
Yeah, I know.
So, Bobby Jean, you want to kick this off?
I would love to kick this off. And I am also a new member of the Pulpwood Queens Book Club. I just joined a couple days ago because it only took me 5 minutes on the website to know that I had to absolutely be a member. And I'm counting out the days to 2022 and the next girlfriend weekend. So, Kathy, tell us a little bit about, and there's so much to talk about, but you love books, you were a book rep, and then your life suddenly changed. And I think that's something going on for a lot of people today. They loved what they were doing, and suddenly something changed for them. And what changed for you, and how did you move from that to where you are today?
Well, I've always been a book person. I was the kid that's nose was always stuck in a book. But so I've been, you know, no matter what I've done in life, I've put myself through college doing hair. And but I had the opportunity to take a book rep job, and I loved it. It was like the dream job. But unfortunately, the big box chain started coming into the territory that I was covering of Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas, and Oklahoma. And the bookstore started closing, so they decided they didn't need a rep for this area. So I was let go. I was downsized.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not take it very well. In fact, I did what most Southern women have learned to do that have been born and raised here is I took to my bed. And they call it a hissy fit. And when I finally realized books to read and chocolates to eat, I called my sister and I go, what am I going to do? I mean, this was my dream job. She goes, well, go back to doing hair. And I said, you know, that was always a means to an end. I mean, I always wanted to graduate from college in art, and hairdressing was kind of like an art. So I said, but my ultimate goal has always been to be an artist and, you know, a reader. And she said, well, why don't you just open a hair salon bookstore? And it's like, ding, 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 ding. You know, the light bulbs went off. I said, oh, my gosh, that is the most brilliant idea. Because usually I loan people books. Why not get paid for them? So I did. I opened January 18th of 2000. So we just celebrated our 20th year with six complete strangers showing up for my first meeting. And it was the funniest thing because we ran an ad in the Jefferson Gymplicute, the local paper, that you know, this Southern hairdresser was going to start this book club in her salon, and everybody thought it was a joke because they thought, what could a Southern hairdresser know about reading? But what they don't know is that's been my whole life, was escaping into books. So I started this chapter, and with a very short period of time, I had over 100 members, and then I got a call from the Oprah Winfrey people and wanted to know if they could come and do a show. And I go, what?
Yeah.
And yes, producers came and they filmed a show. And by then my book club exploded to 225 people joined and showed up for that. We had seven or eight newspapers and three television stations, maybe four. We had the AC Court. And anyway, that show aired And the funniest thing about that show is it aired over and over on Oxygen Network, and it was called Dallas Style. But I was more excited about who I was on there with than even getting on the show, because a little unknown singing sensation that was making some waves down in Houston was featured, and her name was Beyonce. Beyonce and I started at the same time. I think she's gone a little bit further, but
oh my gosh,
we have now nearly 800 chapters throughout the United States, coast to coast, east and west, and everywhere in between, and in 15 foreign countries. In fact, I've been doing blogs all this week with British Columbia. In fact, for my birthday today, two of my very first birthday wishes came from members in Western Australia and Calcutta, India.
Wow.
How cool is that?
Kathy, when we were reading your book of essays, which I know we'll talk about in a minute, but there's a really, there's a term that's being used a lot these days about influencers. And I have sort of mixed feelings about that term, because I think some of them, it's like, well, how long will they be an influencer? Is this really somebody, to throw myself to follow what they have to say? You have been an influencer for 20 years before the term, way before the term was a term. you have had such a dramatic impact on authors and readers. And I thank you for that. And you're the kind of influencer that I will follow.
Oh, that's sweet. I've never really bought into, I've never really bought into, the whole experience. I'm quite dumbfounded by some of the things I've done and been able to do and go. But I think when it kind of started clicking in that maybe I had started something was a bit unusual is when the Los Angeles Times called me and wanted to follow me around. And by then I was running 12. Can you imagine? 12 book clubs in the Architects. And I was taking my authors to the book club meeting. In my, I called it my damn minivan, because I was always hitting a tree in the yard and had dents. And anyway, I took everybody from Pulitzer Prize winning political cartoonist Doug Marlette. I don't know if you know Bruce Cameron, but he rode with me one time, and he did It's the Dog's Purpose that was made into the, the movie series. And I've had everybody ride in that van with me. And, she ran a story, I'll never forget it, 7 in the morning. And she said, "You answered your own phone?" And I go, "Yeah." And she goes, "Kathy, you're famous." And I go, "What?" She goes, "Honey, you're the whole front page of the Los Angeles Times Sunday calendar section. And when you turn the page, you have a centerfold, 2 more full-color photographs talking about you. And they dubbed you the tastemaker."
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm standing there in my Walmart pajamas, and I'm going, "What?" And within 2 days, I never got out of my pajamas. I had calls from everybody from the creator of the Andy Griffith Show to Linda Bloodworth Tomlinson to, creator of Design Women to Eminem's talent scout. He wanted to put me on the Home Shopping Network. I mean, I just couldn't wait to see who was going to call me next. I had somebody want me to do a musical of Davy Crockett in Jefferson, where I lived, and I'm going, and then as soon as it started, it was over. Hmm. I mean, 2 days, 1,000 calls, and it's been like that for 20 years.
Wow.
I get a big story, and then it just goes away for a while, and then I get somebody like, the writer's block calling me, but here's I'm 64 today.
Well, if you have the writer's block calling you, then you've made it.
Yeah, I have arrived.
Actually, being in the Los Angeles Times Center magazine on the cover and a center section, that's better than a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah, that's astounding.
I mean, that's big.
And I have a ton of chapters everywhere in California. In fact, I just partnered with a winery in Sonoma called Breathless Wine, owned by 3 sisters. And they're winning awards left and right. And so we now pair my book club selections with Breathless Wines, and we have a daily blog that we have a guest host author, and she talks to, and we have connected coast to coast from just drinking wine, talking books, and showing that we're not your mama's book club. We want to make I'm just a firm believer that reading is the best entertainment in the world, because our own imagination is just so, for me, it's beyond anything that could be in film. But I'm a big film buff too, because
you sold me on wine to read. We're going to take a real quick break here, ladies. So hang tough, don't go away, and we'll be back in just a few minutes after a few words from LA Talk Radio.
Hi, Jim Christini, your host for The Writer's Block, right here on LA Talk Radio. And this is just a reminder that while everybody's locked down with this COVID-19, working from home, getting bored, you do have an option, and that option is to go to www.latalkradio.com. See, as a .com, we've got it all, from music, sports, self-help. Hell, we even have talk. So why don't you tune in during the day while you're working and listen to what our great hosts and great shows have to say. And just a reminder, Thursday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, is the Writer's Block, brought to you by LA Talk Radio. So have yourselves a great time, stay safe out there, and remember, latalkradio.com.
And we're back. Jim, did you have a question for Kathy?
For Kathy. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Kathy, okay. In your travels and your writing and you're talking to authors, and I know you've talked to a slew of them. I hesitate to say the other S word, a slewful.
Yes.
Have you ever really had a chance to sit down and talk about their motivation when they are writing or when they start a project? Bobby Jean and I talked about this briefly the other day, and my wife is, of course, the bookie, and she is an artist in her own right. Mm-hmm. And she brought up something that was interesting to us, in that do you write to make your fans happy? Do you write to make yourself happy? Or do you write because your ego demands it?
You know, here's what I've found, and I've literally I pick 12 authors a year for Book of the Month and then bonus books of the month, and I just, take them everywhere. So we talk a lot. What I found that most authors, and is what Pat Conroy always said, who's, the low country writer from Beaufort, South Carolina, that passed away several years ago. But he said, the reason why I'm a writer is it's all I can do. He said, I've got this story in me. And it's, reading has always been like the psychiatrist's couch. And he said, even if I never made a dime off of what I do, this is what I do. And I feel exactly the same way. And I hear these same stories over and over. But yes, there's a few authors that turn it into what I call a business. But most of the authors that I found, or most of the authors that I pick, they tell me that it's their way of finding out their place in the world. And they Pat said, there's nothing else I could do. I have no other skills. I was just like,
That's funny you should say that, because Bobby and I were, and the question was asked, why did you become a writer? And I believe Bobby Jean, the answer was, because I don't know how to do anything else.
Yeah,
exactly. I hear this over and over and over. And so, And the other thing that is the biggest revelation from authors is I go, why did you write that particular? And they give an example. And this, I hear this from book club members questioning them, and they go, what is it that you're referring to? And they'll pick some obscure little something in the book, and they go, I have no idea. I have heard that so many times. They go, I don't know why I made her or him do that. Or it just appeared to me. But the authors always tell me it's like the characters become real in their own mind, and the more that they write, they have conversations with these people.
Yes,
and they said sometimes a lot of authors don't even outline their books. They said they just begin, and the next thing they know, the person's telling them the story. And right. I hear that over and over too. And I think that's fascinating because I, you know, my book, you know, my book that I've been writing is nonfiction, but I've been working on a fiction book. It may be my swan song, but I've been working on a fiction book most of my adult life. And I do want to get it done because, but it's like, you know, life keeps getting in the way. But somehow I was called and asked to write my story because nobody had ever heard of anybody opening a business that was both a hair salon bookstore. And the fact that during those first years, I had the Oprah people here twice, Good Morning America here three times, the Los Angeles Times, Newsweek Time, Wall Street Journal, features, you know, a centerfold in Newsweek. I mean, it was really weird. And I was just a mom. You know, I had two small daughters. Now they're, you know, in the other room and they're, you know, 29, 30 and 26. So, you know, they've grown up with it. And they're big readers because they grew up with it. And I have had a lot of time during the COVID to think about, how did this happen? And I'll tell you what, I think a lot of this thing presents itself to you and you better thank the higher power for, you know, people say, oh, you know, you've done so much. And I go, you guys, this is way beyond me. This is something that I feel like that is coming through me and presented. I think it's a God thing myself. That's my belief. Now I have friends from every religion and faith and culture in the world, and I respect all of them, and I think we all try to find our own place mostly from the way we were raised, but I do think that it's something that I'm still here, you know. I mean, the fact that you guys were standing here, just Jim, you know, what's happened to you, you're still here. There's a reason why you're still here. You've got something you're supposed to do, you know.
Well, yeah, I'm too crusty to die. That's why.
Well, I think that has, but you know, I lost my best friend, who was the executive director of the Pulpwood Queens. For the last 20 years, she's been my sidekick, and she died of a kidney stone.
Hmm.
No kidding.
She was
with me one day on one Friday, and the next Friday she was gone. And I'm telling you, that made me think a lot about my own, you know, we don't know when we're going to go, but no. We better make what we're doing important in our lives. And my big thing is, you know, I'm a people pleaser. I'm an empath. I listen to these authors' stories and I read their stories and I've walked in their shoes and I get it. But I also know that, you know, when it's your time to go, I think you're gone.
Yeah.
And yep. I don't have any regrets. If I went tomorrow after this wonderful birthday on Writer's Block, I go, I did the best I could and I'm happy with it. And I've
there
got so
go.
Many friends that I know are going to meet me in the great library in the sky. So, you know, it's all about, keeping that balance between, you know, what's really important in life. How do you want to be remembered? It's
right.
really important to me. You know,
well, I have, I'm still around because I still have more stories to tell.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
I
believe
exactly
that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you what, though, you really look at your mortality when you're in the back of an ambulance going into the hospital and the ambulance attendant is saying, I don't know if we can get in there alive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you hear this.
That happened to me.
Mm-hmm. And you're listening mm-hmm. to them talk and you go, holy crap, they're talking about me.
Me. Right.
Yeah. So that's when you really start fighting.
Yeah. And well, it's all about the story.
It is all about the story. And I'll tell you, Kathy, in the 13 or 14 books that I've written, I try to tell the absolute best story that I can tell. And I think that these last two, Jonah Blue and Jefferson's Chance, are two of the best stories that I think have ever come out of a Western genre.
Did you have any of them come out during COVID?
No, before.
I did. And let me tell you what, it's not fun.
No.
It's not fun. And my book, The Pulpwood Queens, celebrate 20 years is an anthology of my Pulpwood Queen authors' mm-hmm. stories mm-hmm. of, you know, years ago there was a movie with Robert Duvall where set in the 30s where he was a hermit and he knew his days were numbered. And he said, you know, he could envision his funeral, but he thought, well, I'm not going to wait until I die to see who's going to come. I'm going to have it now.
Mm-hmm.
So
I saw
had
that
a funeral
movie.
For himself. Did you see that movie?
Yes. Well, God, it was really, it's
a powerful movie.
It
really is. It's reason why I did the Celebrate 20 Years. I thought, I lost my best friend. You know, it's 20 years. Is this going to be over? You know? And so I asked all my authors, and it all came from Claire Fullerton, who is a California author who mm-hmm. wrote a story about her first experience of coming to Girlfriend Weekend. And I was just so moved by her story. And I go, so that's what people think when they come here. Because to me, it's just normal. But most people go, I've never been to a place where they made the authors wait the tables. Mm-hmm. And not only do I make them wait the tables for the author dinner, I make them pick a costume theme. So one year the theme was the greatest show on earth. So they had to come as circus clowns. One year I had them all come as dressed as Pat Conroy in his fancy pants.
I saw that
with his ball cap because Pat had died and he was my favorite body of work author. You know, and I've had them come as lumberjacks this past year. They all came. I thought, well, it's time to celebrate our guys that are timber guys that are in a group, let's all dress as lumberjacks. And it was one of my favorite ones. And, you know, and then we did How the West Was Won. And, I kind of channeled Jason Momoa when he was in the Netflix series, Frontier. He was costume. People go, what's that on your head? And I go, a dead fox. So where do you find this stuff? I go, Highway 80 yard sale, man. I find costumes just everywhere I go. But we wear the craziest costumes, and we had a Dolly Parton lookalike costume contest last year because we're reading a book about her. We just do. And then now I've got the Dolly Parton Imagination Library coming in 2022 to talk about that wonderful, wonderful program that she started that is just now gone international. So I love her. She's a hero of mine. She's the one that taught me that the higher the hair, the closer you are to God.
Mm-hmm.
And she also has said that, you know, if you have really big hair, they don't look at the other parts of you that aren't so great.
Is that right?
Have a sense of humor. You know, I don't take myself seriously at all. I'm just that small town rural Kansas girl who just had really big dreams like Dorothy, you know, somewhere over the rainbow, man. But I also know there's no place like home. And for me, that's my book family and my authors and people like you and all of us. And I'm hoping that this next convention that we have, it's always Martin Luther King weekend because we have a dream too. I hope this next weekend I've got all these bloggers across the country who are coming and bringing their authors so we can all join forces, because that's what keeps us human, sharing the story. Mm-hmm. It's all about the story. So, we're really excited about it. So, I'm so happy to know y'all joined. Yeah.
You mentioned Claire Fullerton, who is just a wonderful friend of this show. She's been on several times. And she's called in several times. She's been on the show several times, and she's just a wonderful, wonderful lady. But I'll tell you one thing about Claire: if she's opening her mouth, then you know it's the truth.
She's got the most sultry Southern Memphis voice.
You just fall in love with her as soon as she starts talking.
Mm-hmm.
When she spoke the first time at Girlfriend Weekend, I knew she wrote a great book. But when she spoke, I told her just the other day, I called her up and she said, well, I'm working on my next book. And I said, don't change a thing. Just keep working for perfection. Mm-hmm. Because, honey, mm-hmm. I think you're going to be the next Pat Conroy. Your writing is, it's such a beautiful way. Her prose, the way she writes, is a journey. I never want to have an end. I don't want the book to end because I
agree.
Hear that. I hear her voice.
Yes.
And I adore her. I mean, I really do adore her. And I'm so happy that you love her as much as I do, but she is just typical of just, and she's the reason why we wrote the book.
Yes.
Because she wrote that story for Southern Writers Magazine. And I said, well, what does everybody else think? Does anybody else have a story? And I got nearly 70 stories.
Yeah.
Essays and poems. And they're all, there's similarities, but they're all very unique and different, which is the way writers are.
Yeah.
Right.
And they are.
Right.
And some of them were just blew me away. Johnny Bernhardt. I mean, Connor Garrett, a young author. Oh my gosh, such beautiful writers. And so I'm hoping that people will buy that book and read it. And Brother Mockingbird is a small brand new publisher came up to me and said, I hear you're going to do this book. And then she goes, can I publish it? And I said, tell me about your publishing house. She goes, I'm brand new. Nobody knows who I am. I go, well, I help undiscovered authors, why not help an undiscovered publisher?
There you go.
And yeah, there you go.
I love her. Go. And she believes in me.
Kathy, I hate to interrupt, but we, of course, have to do another ad. So if you'll just stay with us for just a moment. And right now, we're just going to hear a few words. And of course, tonight, they will be live from the voice of Bobby Jean Bell for All West.
All right.
Readers Wanted. Want tonight's featured title, The Pulpwood Queens Celebrate 20 Years by our featured guest, Kathy L. Murphy, or any books by the Writer's Block featured authors? Easy. One-step shopping that supports independent booksellers and Out West Shop when you purchase books through our bookshop.org affiliate website. Write this down, www.bookshop.org/shop/OutWestShop. Click the Writer's Block book list for recent titles and find the podcast link to the interview. Explore all our book selection categories. I think we got 43 of them now. New titles added daily. And remember, it's always a great day out west.
And we are back. It is now 6:32 on Pacific time, 7:32 here Mountain time, and of course 8:32 in Texas, where we're talking to our guest tonight, Kathy L. Murphy. And Bobby Jean, that's way too many forward slashes. We got to get rid of some of those.
I know, but that's our address. That's where you have to go.
I know. It's like making a whole brand new Mexico. Why would they want to do that? I just don't get that. But anyway, okay, Kathy, you mentioned Claire and Johnny Bernhardt, and you in your last book here that Bobby Jean just mentioned is a book of essays, and it is phenomenal in that some of these essays really strike to the heart of the reader, and some of them kind of gloss over, but they all seem to have the same theme. And that theme was tribalism. As some of the essays mentioned that they now belonged to their tribe. They have found their tribe. You want to give us a little hint about how you got all of these women, because there's quite a few of them, to sit down and write you an essay without arguing about it.
I really didn't have to do much. It was my editor. I brought on board Susan Kushman, who I had picked several of her books, and she has edited many anthologies. And she was also recommended to me by Jonathan Haute, who's the executive director of the Pat Conroy Literary Center. And I love Susan. And let me tell you about her. She's pretty prolific because she can edit books. We got that book out in under a year, and all those author stories, it's just so well done. And Jonathan did the afterword, and then a wonderful Nashville author, Robert Hicks, who used to be the head of Polygram Records and is a Civil War writer, is just a dear friend of mine, wrote the foreword. And I just put it out there, and then they just all came forward, and many of them are New York Times bestselling authors. And then we got, of course, endorsed by some of our favorites like Jamie Ford, Hotel on the Corner of Bitter and Sweet, Paula McLean, the Paris Wife, Patty Callahan Henry, Lisa Wingate. All these authors came forward. They were Pulpit Queen authors, and they've now, you know, climbed to the bestseller list. And they said, we want to blurb your book. And I go, you know, it's pretty amazing when you start a little grassroots project like this. But it was really hard when I did one book event with six of my authors in Houston, and we were going to go all over the country with this, and then COVID happened. So if you do buy the book, please review it, because it's these authors I'm doing it for. And all the percentage of this money that I'm making from the book, Susan's getting half and I'm getting the other half, is going to a scholarship in the name of my best friend, Tawani Anderson Neal, who is my executive director. And it's to pay for those who can't afford to come to my weekend. We scholarship them in. And we did 10 last year, 10 scholarships. And a lot of, what does it pay to scholarship somebody in? And they, you know, they sent me a check. And, you know, paying it forward, we all help each other, but it is a tribe. And we are a tribe of mostly women, but we've got guys that are just champions, like Jonathan Hope and Jamie Ford. And, you know, Pat was one of my biggest, he's the one that helped me start the author dinner. And his best friend, Janice Owens, who wrote The Cracker Kitchen, is out of Florida. She cooked the dinner. And we had 60 people down to come to the dinner, and over 120, 130 people showed up. And the look on their faces when Pat, I got them all aprons, you know, and when Pat went to this one particular book club's table, he said, would you ladies like sweet tea or unsweet tea? I mean, they looked up and they were just so shocked to see Pat Conroy. And we do it every year. And it's the highlight of the book club attendees, and it's the highlight of the authors. They like to dress up too. We play dress up. We have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And then the grand finale is our great big ball of hair ball. Yeah. And the higher the hair, the more you can win hairball queen. And we have a sexy rooting contest for the men, which is hysterical, because some guys will get up and they think they're reading sexy, and it's always the most unlikely person gets up and just has this voice that is just, everybody just kind of goes, wait a minute, you know, just don't look, just listen to that voice. I'm telling you, there is, and Claire Fullerton is one of those people, a voice, that's why Audible books are so important on who you get to read your book. Mm-hmm. The voices picked to read a book can really, just like the cover or, you know, the soundtrack of a movie, you know, all the things come into play that help bring everything together to make it such a great success. And yeah. Now, since COVID, you know, I went back to college when I turned 59 after a divorce, and I got my degree and became an artist, but I couldn't find a job. And during COVID, I get a call from one of my authors that started a publishing house in outside of Atlanta, Georgia. And she said, I want to make you my director of acquisitions. Now, how many people get offered a job like this during COVID, and you can work from home? Yeah. So I took this job, and I've just hit it as hard as I could. And we've already got our first book out. It went number one on the bestsellers charts in the YA belt crossover, and we sold the film rights. So now we're under a second. It's just all these things come into place, but I'm doing exactly what I'm to do. Right, Bobby? So,
yeah, we have to do it now. Yeah, we have to do it now.
Get up there with me, girls.
Yeah, I did.
Actually, you know what, Kathy? Let me make an observation here. Because I'm okay. Listening to you now. I mean, we talked on Tuesday, and now we're talking tonight.
Yeah.
And there's a hell of an observation I have to make about you. And this is because you are so delightful. It's like, Bobby and I talked about this earlier, is that you're like, you remind me terribly of 200 pounds of dynamite shoved into a 5-pound bag. It's like, when you go, you're going to go.
That's right. I'm going to go out and with a big bang. That's
you
right.
are definitely going to go with a big bang, but you do everything with a big bang. And that's what's amazing about you.
You're either all in or you're all out, you know?
Well, that is absolutely true. Same thing when you're writing. You're either all in or you're all out.
That's right.
I don't know which one I'm on, but you've announced the for 2022 that weekend, mm-hmm. January 14th to the 17th. The destination is mm-hmm. yet to be announced, but you have yes. now announced your authors that yes, will be appearing them, yes. at the Girlfriend Weekend.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's really fun to just look at to our listeners who are maybe thinking, you know, maybe I ought to be looking at going to that Girlfriend Weekend. You have
they better
some,
get their tickets fast.
Well, I saw that. Yeah.
What's happened, Bobby, is I've got some of my keynotes in place because I knew Marilyn Simon Rothstein was going to be a keynote because she came to Girlfriend Weekend this year. This woman is so damn funny. Everything that comes out of her mouth is just like today. She sent me a picture of a cake and it's got her book cover on it. She goes,
"Oh, I saw
Happy
that.
Birthday, Kathy." She goes, "Oh, whoops, the wrong book cover." I mean, she just does this ornery. She's got this tongue-in-cheek thing, and she comes from a magazine writing experience. But she is, her books are so Lift and Separate and Husbands and Other Sharp Objects. She has a way of taking, you know, horrific situations. Like, you know, when I went through my divorce, it was so hard. I've been married 25 years, and all of a sudden, I could laugh about it. And, you know, a person, it's easy to get people to cry, you know. But if you can make somebody laugh out loud in a book, mm-hmm. they are heroes to me. I mean, the only other book that made me laugh, the hardest book I've ever laughed at, and I made a book club, is Paul, and his last name is spelled F-E-I-G. And I don't know if it's Feg or Fag, but, I mean, can you imagine? But the book was called Kick Me, and I found it on the floor of Book Expo's UPS pack and ship. And I thought, damn, I mean, you know, somebody book on the floor and decided not to send it home. And I thought, I'm going to pick it up and read it on the plane. So me and one of my pulpit queens were reading on the plane, and we started laughing so hard. This guy is one of the biggest comedy television writers now in the country.
Oh, wow.
But at the time, he wasn't. And his growing up years, he wrote about, you know, I can't even imagine what it must be like to have a name spelled F-E-I-G and how it was mispronounced. But we were laughing so hard, the stewardess kept coming up to us and saying, "I'm sorry, ladies, you're going to have to tone it down," which made us even laugh even harder. And we were pinching each other, and we were just sitting huddled reading this book. But, you know, I look for authors that entertain, enlighten, and, you know, have these voices that just, you know, like Claire's. And I'm just very much in tune to, I go around to all the book festivals, even if I'm not being featured, and I look for those authors and I find them. And if they can get up and talk and move me in some way, I beat the door down as they run to the restroom after the panel, and I've been known to stand outside the stall going, "What are you doing in January?" you know, and that's how I got my co-host, Robert Leloux, who was living in New York. He was he spoke with all these memoir authors, and he stole the panel. I go, "Who is this guy?" And I followed him and his mother to the restroom. And before I left, he was going to be my co-host. And I've had Jamie Ford. Now it's Revis Wortham, who's a New York Times bestselling author from Texas. But Robert was from Dimebox, Texas, and he's in New York now. And I have gone and stayed with him many a time and taken my pulpit queens to New York. And we've had parties in his Central Park West, you know, gig. So, yeah. And, you know, I meet celebrities along the way. And I say, "Hey, you want to come to Girlfriend Weekend?" Paulina Poroskova, who was a supermodel, was married to Rick Ocasek from The Cars. I met her at a dinner party my agent gave for a client. And she was one of my agent's clients. And I said, "Oh my God." I go, "You're Paulina." And she goes, "Yes, I am. And you're Kathy Murphy." And I go, "How did you know who I was?" She goes, "Oh, honey, I've read your book. I love it." And we sat down and ate dinner together. Here's this gorgeous supermodel. And She did. She came and she was a keynote at my girlfriend weekend, and she's got another book coming out. I'm so excited. But she said, you know, if I hadn't have become a supermodel, I would have become a librarian.
Oh, how interesting.
So, you know, the story,
well, there's a dichotomy right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, her mother, yeah.
We're going to have to break real quick again, if you don't mind, and just hang on, Kathy. And then after the ad, Bobby, you're going to have to ask.
Do we have time? Okay, good.
We do have time. Okay. So right now, let's hear a little bit about Creative Edge. You know, when Creative Edge Publicity was founded in 2016, they immediately showed they weren't the same as other publicity firms. No, they work closely with their individual clients' needs and goals and push harder to get them noticed. Creative Edge believes that communication is an important part of the partnership, and that model is how they have built their success. They collaborate and work with Creative Edge. It's your brand and your future. Mickey Mickelson, publicist, www.creative-edge.services. And we are back in studio. It is now 6:46 on Thursday evening, and we are talking with Kathy L. Murphy. And once again, Kathy, happy birthday. And Bobby Jean, too.
Thank you.
I do have a question.
Yes, we do, Kathy. This is the one.
This is the one. There's only one question we ask every guest, for sure. And that's because we know that some authors maybe run into what is called writer's block. Now, we know that you are an author. You're also an artist. And so we thought it would be fun to get your take on it. Do you yourself run into some creative blocks, writer's block? Did you run into blocks as you built this wonderful network of book clubs? You know, from your experience, have you experienced blocks? And if so, how have you gotten around them?
Well, I've never had a problem with writer's blocks, because when I was a kid, I was told children should be seen and not heard. So I was very quiet and my nose was in a book. And now I cannot stop talking. And especially since I've been home since January during the COVID, if you get me on to a topic, I will talk your ears off, because I don't have it. I know authors do, but I'll tell you, the best bit of advice I ever gotten was from my literary agent, Marley Russoff, of Marley Russoff and Associates in New York. She's also Pat Conroy's and Pat's wife, Cassandra King Conroy's, and Paulina, all these wonderful, Ron Rash. But anyway, when I was asked to write this book, I don't know how to write a nonfiction. I'm working on a fiction book. She goes, I'll tell you, this is what gets everybody started. She goes, get out a notebook and a piece of paper. And she goes, I want you to write down 10 moments in your life. 10 what I call aha moments of what changed everything for you.
Mm.
And, you know, you do some soul searching and you go, what? And you're going to be really surprised what those aha moments were. One of them was, you know, for me, you know, it was almost always for me somebody telling me I couldn't do something. You know, a discourager, not an encourager, a discourager. When somebody tells me I can't do something, that's, I don't know, a fire in my belly or whatever. But I was, years ago, I had, I'd always had International Paper, which had a plant in Jefferson where I lived, and they sponsored a lot of the events I was doing, reading to children, story times, and different things. And they had a woodlands competition every year at the Marion County Fair. And I was watching it intently, and I said, so where do you sign up? And they go, sign up for what? And I go, the woodlands competition. And they said, oh, no, only men do this. And I go, what is it that they're doing? She goes, they're doing running a chainsaw. And they have to do an inch cut down, inch cut back up. So two pieces of wood. And I said, that it? And they said, well, we're having a cross cut saw where you, and I said, well, I want to enter. And they go, well, we've never had a woman that wanted to do this. This is a man's job. And I go, you mean women don't cut wood? I go, I want to hear it. And I said, have you ever read a chainsaw before? And I said, no, but it's just a thick piece of hair to me. And they put these leather shafts on me and they told me how to start it. And let me tell you what, I not only won the women's competition, I talked a bunch of other women into entering, and a lot of them were women that worked for International Paper. I not only won that, I beat most of the, over half of the men's time.
Oh my gosh.
And so, you know, so the thing about writer's block is how you approach it. And if you feel like you've got a block, it really doesn't have anything to do with writing. There's something else going on in your life that's probably causing you something where you feel like. So just I tell people, get out a piece of paper and a pencil and you write down those stories of things that changed everything for you.
Excellent.
And I did that and I had my book. I have my first book. And, you know, and I'm, it works whether you're writing fiction or nonfiction. And I attended a memoir writing workshop with the Texas Writers League, and Jan Reed of Texas Monthly said something to me I want to share with the writers out there. He said, if you're writing a story and you're telling your truth, because it's your truth, my sisters and I don't even have the same memories of something. None of us can decide on how my great-grandma died, but it's your memories, you know, what you remember. If you just remember when you're writing it to tell the truth and to remember that everything that you say has consequences. Right. It can be for the good or the bad, and can you live with those? And but Pat Conroy told me when I was working, I talked to him a bit about it because he, you know, he's been controversial on some of the stories he's fictionalized about his family. And he said, tell the damn truth, Kathy. He goes, you know, and I just had a conversation with another author who says, none of us should be so narcissistic that we think our lives matter that damn much.
Exactly.
And I agree.
Exactly.
So
and
tell
Kathy,
that burning story.
I have to tell the damn truth, Kathy. We are out of time.
Oh, well, I believe it.
And it's been an absolute hoot having you on the air with us. And I have to say, that 200 pounds of dynamite in a 5-pound bag definitely describes you. And don't change no matter what, because you just are a dynamic woman.
I couldn't if I wanted to. So thank
you. Well, good.
Thank you so much.
Good, because we would love to have you back with us. So give it
the book. I would love to come back.
Get with the bookie and get rebooked. We're not booking for 2021 yet, but because we are okay. We're booked up through this year. But yep. She will be booking shortly, and I'm sure she can get you booked right back on. So, again, Kathy L. Murphy, thank you for joining us from way
thank
far
you.
Out in Texas. And please do come back and visit us.
I would love to. And we'll see you all at Girlfriend Weekend 2022, okay?
On my calendar, yep.
Thank you so much again, Kathy.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you,
Bobby.
Happy birthday, everybody.
Happy birthday.
All righty. Okay, Kathy Murphy. And again, happy birthday, Bobby Jean. And happy birthday to Kathy Murphy. And we are... we are going to be having next week one of our favorite authors coming back to visit us, Mr. Troy Smith, Professor Troy Smith from Sparta, Tennessee, and he's going to be joining us next week. He's been a guest before, and he's going to be back with us, and love to have Troy on us because he's a Facebook fanatic. So you can find him on Facebook if you're really, interested in who he is. So with that being said, Bobby Jean, wonderful being back with you.
Great to have you on the air. Wonderful, wonderful.
Oh, my God. It's just been so long. And I mean, the last time I tried this, I had to get off because I got sick.
I know. So, but here you are.
Here I am. And I'm
back in the saddle.
There. So, again, thank you so much for joining us tonight with Kathy Murphy and with Bobby Jean Bell and for myself, Jim Christina, Russ Aviston, and, of course, little Richard Paulinelli out there in good old wherever the hell Richard Paulinelli is hanging out these days. We are out of here.